Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening, folks, everybody that's listening. This is House of Purpose Spiritual Center, where we have conversations about understanding who you are, what are you on this earth to do, your purpose. And we also, our conversations deal with solutions. We're not here to complain. We know what the problem is. So what is the solution? So in this conversation, we hope to leave you with a solution or that leads you to an idea for a solution for your family, for your community, for your church, your mosque, whatever the case may be. If you're not part of the solution, you the doggone problem. So tonight, we got the conversation is why we can't wait. And our conversation is with educator William Everett, who's teaching in the Houston. Brother, you in the Houston Independent School District, or where are you now?
I'm in A-Leaf right now.
A-Leaf. Okay. So, man, I'm gonna pass the mic over to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your program, what you're doing, what you're attempting to do. You got the flow, brother.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Brother Todd, for offering me this opportunity to come on your show. Just real quickly about myself, African-American male from Detroit, Michigan. I currently live in Houston, Texas. I am, I've been a middle school math teacher for about 9 years. I taught 2 years in the Peace Corps. That was many years ago. And I have a website called How Did He Get Here? That's howdidhegethere.com, howdidhegethere.com. And that was inspired by Trayvon Martin's death and the acquittal several years ago, just asking myself, how did we come from kings and queens in ancient Egypt and in Africa to where we are today with the incarceration, the faces at the bottom of the well, if you will, on some level in this country and throughout the world, actually. And to be honest, I kind of sat on it a little bit, but these last few incidents, I've kind of brought it to the forefront of my mind. My basic message is that history repeats itself. Our young people, especially our young black men, are not aware, or I don't know. I'm not going to say that. I don't know how aware they are, but we as adults, I would like to see us do a better job, create a framework for us to educate or to give a framework to our youth so that they can become the leaders of tomorrow that we need in our community. So basically mentorship. What can we do to bring out the best in our youth? And I guess Maladoma Somé, in his book, The Healing Wisdom of Africa, pretty much summarizes it for me when he says, the very purpose of mentoring is twofold. One is to recognize and awaken. The other is to facilitate the delivery of the genius to the community. So in Africa, in his society, it's not assumed that the youth don't know anything. Our job is to bring it out of them. Our job as elders is to bring it out of them so that they can then take that genius and give it back to the community. So that's pretty much a summary of what I want to do. That's what my website is. It's about knowing your history to help you bring out the genius that's in you. Because, again, it's real cliche. We are on the shoulders of many great people, and we need to use that to move forward.
Well, you know, it sounds like I like to always reference it to a rites of passage. And I think officially or unofficially, we need to have a rites of passage. Because if the youth are going to learn anything, who are they going to get it from? I mean, it's not their fault that they don't know. All, you know, it's, we haven't done a good job of teaching. And, you know, we have institutions. The institutions that we have that can be a part of this, and some of them are, then we applaud them. But if not, I think everybody individually is responsible. So is that what your program, your website is dealing with? Some type of rites of passage ministry?
It's not necessarily a rites of passage. I guess I liken it to football or sports. If you're going up against the competition, what was the first thing your coach did when you played football? You get ready for a team, you watch what? You watch the film. You watch what they do in certain situations. Right. I mean, you've told a story before how when you were in high school, when that offensive lineman moved a little bit, you knew what the play was. If you look at when New England played, who was that? Seattle. The defensive back said there's a certain player they like to run at a certain time. And when the guy took off from the line of scrimmage and planted his right foot, he knew what the pattern was, and he jumped it. End of game. Well, that system, that force, if you will, in this country that has suppressed Africans enslaved here in America, pretty much does the same thing over and over again, i.e. Donald Trump. He's igniting racist sentiments in a certain part of the population that feels left out and economically deprived. That's what they've done for 400 years to get votes. So it's a repeat. Voter ID laws, it's a repeat. I was just talking to my godson a few minutes ago. He said, that sounds like something that happened back in the 40s. Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, poll tax, it's the same thing. It's the same plays over and over and over again. History repeats itself. If we're going to win this battle, assuming we want to win the battle, we have to go back the strategy to offset it. And so it's not really a rites of passage. I don't have any problem with institutions. I just think in this day and age of YouTube, Instagram, we can have a virtual institution where people can go and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. They can do a little research on it and come back and share. Because we have to wait for a church, and we have to wait for a youth group. One, they won't hit all the youth enough. They can't hit the critical mass. But if it's something that's on the web, if it's on YouTube, we can hit a whole lot more people than we could if we waited for an institution. Now, they can have a rite of passage, but up into that, there's information out there that we all can share with you.
Hmm. Well, Brother William, we got somebody holding. We're going to bring them on, 832-872. Good evening.
How are you, sir?
Good.
I was listening to you, and I got what you were saying about trying to implement some of the teachings of older times into the new youth. But my question is, how would we go about doing that?
Good question. The answer to that question is that if you go to the website, there are videos, and there are a few lessons. I have to come up with more lessons. The adult would have to go do some homework, him or herself. And then once they do that, they share that and just have the conversation with the youth. For example, I have a video now that says Law and Order on my website. And it talks about, because Donald Trump in his acceptance speech at the RNC spent the greater part, the first part of his speech, saying that he's a law and order president. And if we look at the history of the United States, law and order, especially in the 60s with Nixon and a few other presidents, it was code word to a certain part of the population. And so to answer your question, an adult could get that video. There are a few questions, and whoever they mentor, whether it be their children, their cousins, nieces, and nephews, and I try to keep my videos around 5 minutes, you'd have that discussion. So that the next time somebody or you hear someone say law and order, you understand that those are code words. Not, I don't even if they're code anymore. They're code words for that politician to say, hey, I'm for you. So the way it would happen is it would have to be sort of an organic thing where a concerned mentor would speak to a youth. And I'm not saying the youth doesn't even – you might even might already know that. Conversations have to go on.
Right.
So at this
right.
point, it's unstructured. It is. I'm not looking for an institution. And the reason I say that is because I work in schools, and I work in a Texas school, and they're bound to that curriculum, or at least we feel like we are. So we have history teachers who are aware of all this, but for whatever reason, they're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, if any at all. So I discount that institution. If there are other ones that can step up and do it, I hopefully I've provided a tool to help them.
Right.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I did. Really, what I see the problem for our current youth is that, well, me included, is that we can't really it's not that we can't, but we're kind of not interested in the usual programs, you know, the clubs, things like that. So is there a way that we can try to, I'm not saying like sneak this into schools, but kind of use our own coding for history class, things like that, so we can kind of get around the institution and teach, well, Black history teachers, things like that, can teach this what's actually going on in our community.
Well, I can't remember exactly what year, but I think about 2 or 3 years ago, there was a big uproar about how in Texas they took a lot of Black and Brown history out of the textbooks. So that
they did.
That speaks to where the state's mindset is. As a teacher, and I teach math, I'll give you a prime example. I want to teach stock market game to my kids. But I also know that I have a curriculum to follow. I have 3 other teachers on my team. And if at any point I fall behind them, like I say, well, where are you, Mr. Everett? Well, it's Tuesday and I haven't gotten to that yet. Okay, that's fine. But if by Thursday we're not lockstep for that test on Friday, my kids are going to underperform because I went off the curriculum to teach something else. To your question, if you're in high school in Texas, you know there's this clock ticking. We got to cover this by this day, this by that. And to teachers' defense, if they have to stay on that curriculum, and if they're a part of any group, that group has to be pretty much in lockstep. Anybody who falls behind or does something different and falls behind, and their kids don't score well on those tests, you know what happens, right? So to sneak it in, I'm open to how you would do it, but I can't. The only way I can think of quote-unquote sneaking it in is into to English language arts. Is because they have to read. Now, if you had enough of our history, our real history, in an ELA class, and students could read and discuss it there, that would be fine. Because some of the stuff they have is like, you know, it's literature. So until we have enough 500 or 1,000 word passages that can sneak their way into an English class, it's not going to happen. It won't happen in the history class anytime soon. You may be able to do it in the English class. So that's one way you can do it. If that's accepted, if it meets that particular standard, you have to have them written by a professional and be accepted by the school.
Well, right. let me butt in here. Young man, how old are you?
I'm 17, sir.
So what you like, the 11th grade, 12th grade?
Yes, sir. I'm a senior.
Yeah. To me, William, this is evident, man, that you can't. I mean, you can't rely on the school system. Black people, if they're gonna teach their history, it's gonna have to be independent or whatever. And I understand some will argue and say, "Well, I'll pay my tax dollars." Well, you know, we've been having this conversation for years, and it ain't nothing changed. And so, there's gonna have to be a separate institution, whether it's a church, a mosque, community center, some individual that steps up and decides to do his own Saturday school. And then my question to the young person is that with all the social media out here, the YouTube, Facebook, I don't know, it seems to me like it would be easier to find some historical information on whatever you want to call us, black, Negro, African American, Moors, whatever title you want to give us. It just seems like it would be easier, but the thing that caught my attention, what he said earlier, is there's no interest. And so I think we have to find some kind of way to resurrect a desire to know about oneself.
He said there's
right.
no
so,
interest.
That's what the young man did.
Yes, sir, I did. Further, what I had said prior, mainly what I'm saying is that we do have somewhat interest in our background, but it's to the point where a lot of teachers are telling us, like, you know, in school and history class and any class really, that they tell you your history. You know what I mean? So I'm saying if we can find a way around that, because that's, let's be honest, that's really not our real history. If we can find a way around them telling us what we're supposed to believe, is there a different way? Do you get what I'm saying? Like trying to change the curriculum in a way.
I got a question. That's two different things. You said there's no interest on the part of black youth, and then you talk about
I'm sorry. So
which one is that?
What I'm saying is that there's no interest because they're trying to teach you the European side of things and not the American or the African American side of things.
Are students aware of that?
A lot, yes. I had a discussion with my friend in class, and we were asking. Well, we had asked my world history class back when I was a sophomore. We had asked my world history teacher, we had asked her where Jesus had come from because we were interested. We wanted to know because we knew it was in Africa, and we both knew that in Africa, it's impossible for a white person to be there and not have a tan of some sort. And each portrayal of what Jesus looked like, it was always a white person. So we had asked her, and she had told us that Jesus was in a part of the environment where you couldn't see the sun as much or get tanned as much.
Wow.
Which was really interesting to me because it's like they were just trying to put a veil over what is fact. Because in Africa, how many white people do you really see? You know what I mean? Like,
well, you know, I want to interject
sorry.
Right here, and I kind of want to change. Area code 614-290. We coming to you. Just hold tight, hold tight. I want to suggest some books that I give my children. I have two children. You know, these are just some basic books to kind of stir that spirit up in from the Browder file. This is by Anthony Browder. That's a good book to get. Another book is What They Never Told You in History Class, Volume 1. I'm not going to, the brother's name is Indus Kush. So I'm going to add one more person on this conversation. This is area code 614. Good evening. Area code, phone number 619-290.
Hey, Ty, this is good.
Hey, bro, Ty, you kind of got a bad connection there. We can hardly hear you.
Oh. Just called in. I was just calling
yeah,
in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Appreciate you. Yeah, you, that's better.
Okay,
you got
thanks.
A question or you just checking us out?
Oh, no, I'm just listening in. Yes, sir. I just called in.
Okay. Appreciate you, brother. But,
no problem.
Another book I would like to suggest, and like I say, this is what I give my children, Lerone Bennett Jr., Before the Mayflower. This is one of the first books I ever picked up that just, I mean, it did something to my consciousness to be able to look at the facts, dates. It made an impression on me. And there's another author I would like to give out. He has a number of books, J.A. Rogers. So, it's unlimited, the information out there about our people. These are just four books that I just grabbed off my bookshelf because they was close to me and I didn't have to get up. But it's just so much information. My suggestion, and this is what our conversations are, they're about solutions. We're gonna try to lead a complainer to a minimum. Is to start a book club. You know, get a group of young people. Young man, you can get a group of young people your age, and you all can read a book. Hey, take that book, and if it's 10 chapters in that book, set up a reading club where each person takes a chapter and reviews that chapter in front of the group. You can meet on Saturday. You know, during the week, you know, you read your book. Meet on Saturday once a week, twice a week, wherever. You know, if you're a pastor, you're in a church and you're a church group, you know, let this become part of your Sunday school. Let this become part of your Bible study. It's nobody else's responsibility for you to know who you are. To me, the greatest gift of salvation is understanding who you are, knowing who you are. Because quite frankly, the only thing that's going to save black people is to come to a knowledge of self and then to practice some type of cooperative economics. So that's my suggestion, young man, is that you find some of your peers. And to me, I don't know. I just think everything that's available today makes that easier, and that's the social media piece, YouTube. You can go onto YouTube and you can just Google something. One of the books that's on YouTube, some of these books are on YouTube, the whole book. Go on and Google this phrase. We were here. What's the phrase? I'm trying to. The brother that wrote the book about our experience here in Africa. We all didn't come on a slave ship. Some of us were already
right
here. So I think that's...
We're already here.
Yeah, we were already here. So go on YouTube, Google that. You know, it's just so much information that can open our consciousness.
Can I check for a second?
Sure.
This may be a shameless plug for the website. But let me explain my experience.
Go ahead, brother. That's what you're here for.
As a teacher of math, right?
Yeah.
So I may have 70 students, and if I'm lucky, 10 of them can actually help their child with the math, right? If you had something that could help the parent help you teach the child, that would be helpful. Now, I went to undergrad, I went to grad school, so I know a little bit about research, sifting through, you know, the BS and trying to find, you know, second, third, and fourth sources. the reason I put the website together was not that it's the end-all, be-all. That it's organized, and it's a start, and it gives references to where I got it from. So the website was designed for, you know, some limited topics, obviously. You know, you can't put all of Black history in one space. But it's segmented. It has a video of videos, and then it shows where the video came from. And again, I try to keep it around 5 minutes because when you start getting longer, that most people are going to like just space out and leave it alone. So the shameless plug here is, and this is not anything I get any money off of, is if you start there and say, okay, I'm going to look at some of these major historic events that have been the cause, if you will, of why we're in the situation that we're in right now. And it's nice, neatly packaged. If I want to go off on some other stuff, I can, but I can at least start basic knowledge and go from there. Because what you're saying, Todd, is what I've done. I've gone through, I've looked, I'm like, why did that happen? I know anything about that. Oh, well, I got this. You know, this is a good video. Let me take this part of it, put it in here, and at the bottom of the video, you can go see where I got it from. So the website is just a framework. It's a tool. You know, when your son comes home from, and we learn history class today, we learned about so-and-so period. They talked to you about Bacon's Rebellion? No. Okay, go there, see a clip, read this, read that, go see more, and go from there. So that's my shameless plug.
Well, let me ask you, brother, how many have you just had a conversation with other teachers, with other, you know, other people in your school, or you know, other teachers, period, about what you're doing and what you're trying to do?
I have.
I'm sorry, brother. Excuse me. Pause. I take that back. I said you're trying to do. I send that word back. I'm through with that word. You're doing. So have you talked with other teachers about what you're doing and what you're accomplishing?
Yes, I have. The nod, yes, cool. And they keep on moving. You know, it's what I'm learning, it's kind of like art. You make something, you put it out there, and some folks walk past and say, you know, it's cool. And some folks stop and stare, and they can't stop looking at it. So I've shared my website and things with people. I'm not even sure they've ever looked at it because they never say anything. I might talk to them, oh, man, I've been kind of busy. It was kind of cool. I liked it. And I keep on moving because it may or may not, it's going to catch fire with who it catch fires with. You know, whoever holds that same passion and concern. Because, and let me just tell you a couple of things. One reason why I say why we can't wait is because I went home to Detroit this summer. I got pulled over. You know, I'm leaving a bar late at night, suburbs of Detroit, mostly white neighborhood. And the long and short of it is, it was my fault. I forgot to turn my lights on. But when that cop pulled me over, you know, all I could see was, you know, the brother in Minnesota, the brother in Louisiana. I mean, those visions, those images were in my head. And I got pissed. Like, why'd you pull me over? Well, I turned my lights on. And then he said, you got to get down to shape. And I was really close to saying, don't tell me how to feel. But then the officer said, Negro, keep your mouth shut. And when I drove away, you know, he just took my license and registration, and I drove away. It was no big deal. And I had to ask myself, what the hell just happened? And I had to say, if I got pissed off like that, and I could have had a run-in with the law for nothing, what about our youth who are in the absence of an intelligent program, are acting out emotionally? You know, we're rioting. We're doing things that I believe emotional frustration. So I think that for us to have, as we learn, stay in the middle, there has to be a certain level of intelligence and a certain level of strategy that you're putting in place that you may be able to withstand what you perceive to be a threat to you, your humanity.
Well, you know, I think we have to deal, because it sounds like to me, brother, your experience was something that came up out of your subconscious, and that's what we're dealing with. We're looking at a program that has been put in all of us, in our subconscious, and I don't think we're aware. Well, we're not aware of it. You know, just look at what our young people are bombarded with, or our people, period. The media, that's a monster, man. And every day you see images that are portrayed over and over and over and over. And to a degree, Facebook can be unhealthy. Because if you're constantly seeing images of police brutality or police killing, you know, killing some black person, that can go into the subconscious of that community. And
that's where
when you get there,
yeah,
Facebook, yeah. So, and you know, let's going back to this conversation with our young people in history. You know, when you're constantly bombarded with images that portray you as someone that has not produced, contributed to society, is showing you less than human, then you know. What you're doing is you're on the right track. We got to do something to offset that. And I think one of the practices that I'd have is meditation. Man, it's some kind of way we're going to have to sit our children down. Well, you know, I'm not going to say our children, all of our people. And we're going to have to go through a deprogramming. You know, we're going to have to deal with what's in our subconscious. And somebody, you know, might say, well, how do you do that? You know, it's just some basic meditation techniques to clear our minds and hearts, to change our words, to change how we see each other. You know, we got to change our language about ourselves. And some of it is some of y'all need to take a fast from Facebook. You need to take a Facebook detox, because some of that stuff is constantly negativity in a sense. You might not realize it, but it's negativity being pumped out constantly. You know, when the brother from Louisiana and the brother from Minneapolis died, man, that was, I really just had to just turn. I didn't even look at my phone because it was beginning to be overload, man. And so that's one of the things we have to be mindful of: that what goes into our spirit, what goes into our subconscious. You know, if it's saying, you know, black folks ain't worth a damn, and you hear that over and over and over and over, and you begin to believe that, you begin to act in that way, and you won't believe anything that's contrary to that. And then, then what happens then is self-hate sets in. So we just have to be, we're bombarded as a people with the images, with the songs, the music, that speaks to a criminalization of us, inhumanity. So we just have to be careful with that, and definitely with our children. So you know, like I say, we're talking about solutions. Start off with a book club. You know, if you're gonna use Facebook, use it where it's positive and productive. There's some productive stuff that come on there, but it gets overshadowed with all the negative stuff. Hey, you use YouTube. There's a lot of productive stuff, clips and videos you can use from YouTube. Go on to your website. You know, go on to William's website. It's really not any room for us to make excuses about what we can't do, why we can't go here. You know, if you say that, then it becomes your reality. And I guess that's really another conversation for another day. Is the words we speak. You know, what does your Bible say? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, Proverbs 18:21. Matthew 12:37, it says, for by thy word thou shalt be justified. So you justify yourself by what you say about yourself and by what you think about yourself. So, you know, there are solutions out there for it. But one of the things, brother, you know, what do you think about with sometimes we're just fearful. You know, some of us don't want to make a change because some of us don't know what to do. And some of us are just fearful, man. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to go back again to Somay's quote. I'll put this in context. You know, I'm 50 years old. As my brother would say, I got more days behind me than in front of me. But I believe the beauty of me teaching, you see the potential. I'll give you another experience I had. I was in Detroit, and I came home just when my mother was playing back her voicemail. And guess who was on it? It was Al Sharpton leaving a call. It was a call out from Al Sharpton about some local person running for a position. And I said, Al Sharpton? Don't get me wrong. It's all good. But who's replacing the Al Sharptons, the Jessies, and the whomever? And I don't like to get this whole messianic or messiah leadership in black community. But who's replacing those people in our community? And going back to Somay's quote, we have developed genius within a young person so that the youth can arrive at his or her destination. They can share their gift within the community. This is why, like I said, we can't wait, and we can use YouTube or whatever, but we got to get our youth to understand, to get that basic fundamental understanding. I didn't get until I went to Morehouse. I was 20 years old before I was back, back in the day, you know, when Julian Baum was, and, you know, it was all the rage at Morehouse and different schools, HBCU, to know what was going on. Can't wait for our kids to get to college. We gotta get them early. We gotta develop that great awaken that greatness in them as soon as possible. So we can. The videos are on YouTube. The information is out there. I think these kids know it. They might call it Illuminati or whatever they call it. It just needs to be structured, and our adults have to take the responsibility individually. It's cliche, reach one, teach one. Then the institutions are going to follow. They're going to jump on the bandwagon. So we have to know ourselves. And, yeah, we have to meditation, things like that. But we got to know what's going on because it's a very critical time politically. These institutions are imploding. Democrats, Republicans, they're all blown up. So,
yeah. Well, you know, William, you said something in the beginning, and you kind of make me have to backtrack. You said something in the beginning about being able to recognize and understand the play. And the first thing is some of us are unconscious, and what we're going to have to recognize is what are the instruments being used and how they're being used to continue to, I guess, in a sense, keep us locked down consciously or keep our spirits locked down. And we have to identify those institutions and whatever techniques they're using, like we say the media or the images, our religion, you know, our spiritual systems or whatever the case. What are you doing? And one of the things that stands out to me more than anything, this society does a lot of work to keep people away from God. And what I mean by that is that they do a lot of work to keep you away from that God that's inside of you. Because when you reconnect with who you are, then you are connecting with the God inside of you. And I know a lot of folks say, oh, you know, they get all hysterical when you start talking like that. But, you know, that's what Jesus said. You know, I'm just saying what Jesus said. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I mean, we need to come to a place of practical spirituality. And not all of this stuff where we are sitting waiting. And that is part of the problem it's always good to recognize the problem. That problem is we're sitting and waiting on somebody to save us, somebody to come down from heaven to help us with our problem. That ain't going to help you. Happen. And until we understand that only somebody going to save you is you, you know, God can did all he going to do for you. And I know that, that right there, that sounds very cruel and harsh. But until we understand that, we're going to continue to keep going on this merry-go-round. So my suggestion is, you know, do just, you set a pattern, you set an example, brother. Basically, with each one, teach one. So, you know, that's my input on that. I just think we have to identify those things that are causing us the problems or keeping us trapped. And then once we identify what they are, then let's come up with a solution. Let's do something different, something opposite. You know, sometimes you have to go against the grain. If you're going in a direction and you're continuing to get the same results, there has to come a time when something in you, you know, a voice, something is gonna say, "Hey man, let me try something else. Let me try the other way."
Point I like to make is that if nothing else, the stuff on the website will encourage critical thinking. And that is such a struggle in middle school, is to, because we've trained kids to pass this test, to walk this line, but then they say, well, you know, you got to, you know, ask certain questions and you got to push them. And when you push them, if you saw the look in their eyes for some of these kids, they're like, what the heck are you talking about? I'm not trying to think that hard. I'm not trying to think that much. You know, critical thinking or lack thereof, I believe is a huge issue, because the game is not that complicated. But like you said, if I'm being bombarded with these messages and I can't critically think and get past what's really going on, I'm just gonna just ride it out and not know what the heck just happened to me. A prime example is right after the shooting in Dallas, Texas put forth a potential law that would make any, I won't say aggression, but if you harm a police officer, it goes from misdemeanor to felony. They want to make police officers a protected class. Well, the last time they made a misdemeanor a felony was the war on drugs. Marijuana used to be a misdemeanor, then became a felony. When, you know, you had the 2-to-1, the 1-to-100 crack powder cocaine, and 3 strikes you're out. That's how they gutted our community. And if we let them, they'll make another law that on the surface will look like it's a good idea, but when it becomes implemented, you know who's gonna catch the most hell. That's what I'm talking about by being aware. It's like, wait a minute, you turn something that you try to make police a protected class. You take this moment of hysteria, create a law that just looks like it's a good thing to do, but I know who you're gonna arrest. Hell no, that law is not. Find some other way, because I know what you're trying to do. You do it all the time. You plant that right foot, and you go left, and it's a slant pattern. I've seen it before. I've watched the tape. Somebody told me our task one. Let me do it. Yeah.
Well, see, that's my thing. That's my whole thing, brother. And I don't think black people realize that this game is chess and not checkers. Hey, there is nothing new that is being done. And so I'm just, you know, I'm amazed at how we think that something is going to be different. Well, quite frankly, brother, you know, we've been making this same mistake for 5,000 years. And which is another show in itself. We start making this mistake in Egypt, expecting the European, the Caucasian, to do something different than what he's doing. And I think as a people, for some way, some reason or another, we think, we're wishing, we're hoping, and we're praying that somehow he's going to be different. You know, police are going to stop killing black folks. You know, they're going to stop setting up laws and redlining and economically depriving us or putting us in an economic bad situation.
Right. What was coming to America besides the biggest gentrification program the Europeans ever did? So why would they stop? Why would they not gentrify Third Ward? They gentrified North America. I mean, hey, wait a minute. So, this is a nice land. I think we should. We got manifest destiny. We're gonna move from east to west. It's ours. Who told you that? God told me that. Okay, I guess God told you to take Third Ward, Fourth Ward, you know, Fifth Ward. You know, I guess, you know, why are we waiting on anything different? That game doesn't change. The question is, when are we going to play it?
You know what? Call another play, brother. We need to call another play.
First of all, we got to realize we're on the same team.
Well, hey, okay.
Like you said, know yourself. You're on the same team. I mean, I've been here 10 years. You know how long I heard black folks say they're about to take Third Ward? Now, first thing I said was, well, if you know that, why let them take it? You know, now all of a sudden, a couple of weeks ago, some politicians band together to protect Third Ward. Half of it's already been taken. You know, so I don't, what is it, like you said, what is it about us?
And for those that are listening, Third Ward is a part of town in Houston that black people have been for many years, and now, just like any other major city, gentrification is happening.
A lot
of it is we're just not. You know, brother, I just don't think we are on a conscious level. We're even concerned with the future, and that's why we have to start with our young people, getting them to be able to look down the road more than a couple hours, but 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. And I think it starts with a knowledge of self. And under that knowledge of self, there's so many different things comes with it. When you have a knowledge of self, man, then you're gonna be aware of your economics. You're going to be aware of your health. You're just going to do things differently when you move into that type of consciousness. You're not going to do anything to harm yourself. You're not going to do anything to harm others. You know, when you begin to love yourself, you know, then it's easier for you to love other folks because you see the value in that individual. You see the God in the other person, especially the person that looks like you. Because what this society has done, you know, using the words from Malcolm X, you know, they've taught you to hate yourself. They taught you to hate everything about yourself. And this is the game of checkers. So how do you offset that move? Just what you're doing here, taking out your each one, teach one, and just coming to that awareness of self. You know, I wish I had a magic wand to say if you do A, B, and C, it would happen. But you know, it's a process. Each person is different. Each person's walk, each person's life path is different. So each person may come to their consciousness a different way. But whatever we do, we just have to call and put it forth and just say, you know, we decree it right now that from this those that hear this conversation, something will awaken within them to where they will want to search out and find more information. They will go to your website. and find more information. The young man on the call, he will go teach other young people, because that's all it takes. It starts with a thought, and then you call forth for those people that are on the same mindset as you to come forth. I just believe that. I believe you can call in. We've called in so much negativity, so much, I guess, negative energy. We can do that. I just believe that. Our minds are a powerful thing. And our words are creating at all times. They're either creating something positive in our life or what we deem as something negative in our life. And so that's what we got to be about. Just remember, man, you know, we playing checkers. I don't think our people realize that. I mean, I'm sorry, we're playing chess, not checkers. Chess is a game. You're making calculated moves. You're trying to, I guess that's a whole nother show. The most powerful piece on the board is the queen. So we might need to have a chess board conversation, brother, next time. Well, we take every piece of the chessboard and tell its purpose and relay that to our lives, to our young. See, that's another solution. For those that know chess, teach a young person how to play chess. And as you're teaching them the parts, the pawns on the board, tell them what their purpose is. To me, man, that game is so, I mean, it's just so close to life. So many stories, allegories. Go ahead.
Let me piggyback on that with one of my favorite quotes, and it's by Sun Tzu. I can't pronounce the name. Art of War, and he says, "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer defeat. If you know neither enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle." And it goes back to what you're saying. You got to know yourself, but you also got to know what your enemy does. And if you don't think you got an enemy, that's the first problem. You got one. And you got to know what that enemy is all about. And I believe in this country, that enemy is all about money and about power. I think I told you about it. It's called The Requiem for the American Dream. That thing blew me away, because what it really boils down to for me is it's all about class. But the upper class has just used race to divide the lower class, keep us fighting over a bunch of crumbs while they go on, the 1%, ruling the whole world. But that's another show itself. So I can't really put my hand on the finger, but I was thinking, I said, the black folks really know what game we're playing. You know, do we really know what's going on? What we're up against? What it is that we're fighting? Because I was watching a video the other day, and it was about 1600 in Jamestown, you know, blacks were still either indentured servants or they were slaves, and it was these, you know, when they used to wear those wigs back in the day as judges, and it was these slaves trying to convince the judge that they were human. And all I could think of, isn't that what Black Lives Matter is? They're trying to say that we're humans. We're still trying to convince this system of our humanity. If I have a youth on here, I'd say something. That's freaking crazy. Why are we still 400 years from removed trying to still convince this institution that we're human? If that is the case on any level, we got to change our strategy. They're not going to ever see us as being human. Let's go do something else. Well, I mean, we have to fight on different fields. Maybe somebody can fight that humanity fight, but we can't put all our energy on a fight for Trump supporters to see us as human.
Yeah, that's insane. That's a waste of time to try to convince somebody.
If you know your enemy,
nice to you.
Right. If
yeah.
you know your enemy, and Trump is, I love him to death because he has shown us who they are. No
yeah.
matter what that guy say or do, he is their man. Do you think me walking down the street with a Black Lives Matter, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with that movement, that is not going to touch their heart? And that, and they are a force to be reckoned with. What is our strategy? They think that we have gotten nothing on our own effort. Everything was given to us. We are a threat to them economically, and we must be eliminated. You know, they have been abandoned to our advantage. That
right.
is what we have to understand. And do we have a black think tank that either we're going to work with them to bring down the 1%, or we better have a plan to fight them to keep our crumbs? And I don't know. Maybe
know,
that thing exists. I've never seen it before.
Hey, you know, there may be some black think tanks. I don't know, brother. I'm not a part of any of them. And I'm not here to say they don't exist. I'm going to say this. History is our best teacher. And we have to look at some of the things, the successes we had, what we did. I would like to make this point also about going back and study our history. I think, quite frankly, we can study what black people or African Americans or Moors have done right here in America. We don't even have to go outside it. We can just study right in here. There's so much value and wealth. But if we want to go outside the states, if we want to look at moments in history and what our people did, look at Haiti and what they did to overturn the French. Look at the Mau Mau. Look at the Maroons in Jamaica. Let's just go back and look at them and study those times. Study the consciousness of those people. You know, I just feel like whatever you ask for to get, you can get. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I feel that what you're saying is completely right. But the only thing is that I feel like the consciousness of them, they felt their self-worth, and that's how they were they were able to overcome a lot of their troubles. Like, saying all of them, because not all of them are this way, but white people understand the value of the blacks. That they know that we're their enemy, basically. Like, going back to the chess game, they know that we're their enemy, and they know the value of us. That's why if you look back at history, white fishers would rub worms in the black slave's hair to obtain good luck for that worm so that they can catch fish. They know our worth. They're just threatened by it. And that's why they try to keep us down. They try to tell you that you're not worth anything, because in actuality, your natural worth is far above the usual human. Like, I'm not saying that all black people are, you know, gods and things like that, because I believe that we're all some form of God in our own way. What I'm saying is, you place a black person out in the wild and you place a white person out in the wild, and let's just say you're in the middle of the desert, right? That black person is going to survive longer. That black person is going to do more things. That black person is going to be more ingenuitive, because that's what we've seen throughout our history, is that we're more ingenuitive than most races. Like, they'll try to tell you that Thomas Edison created the light bulb, which is not true. Another person created the light bulb who was black that didn't patent the light bulb, and his idea was taken. The clock, black people made that, but their idea was taken by white. because they realize our value and they feel threatened by it, so they need to take credit for it. They need to take all of our achievements away from us so that they can feel as though they're above us. And that's why Donald Trump says things like, I'm sorry.
No. I just wanted to interject. I think they may see us as an enemy because that is what has been taught to them. That is what's been placed
right.
in the subconscious. And the greatest enemy of people is fear. And when fear is taught, when fear consumes an individual, then they will take upon all crazy type of thoughts. I don't think all white people see us as their enemy. I think
right.
what we're dealing with is a system. We're dealing with a system that has been put in place.
Right,
and
by the media. And the media portrays us as the scary black people in hoodies that steal things from you. And when you're walking near a black person with a hoodie, you should walk on the other side of the sidewalk. You know, things that they teach you subconsciously.
Correct.
They try to order other white people to fear us through the media, through black shootings. Oh, that black person nudged a little bit. He was deserved, or he deserved to be shot by the police. Things like that.
So let me ask you: what do we do that we are aware of that? What do we do to change that? Individually,
we need
to
realize how valuable we are.
Okay. So I need you.
Todd, I'm sorry. Go back. What do we do to change what? To change what?
To
change our
communities
in the way that we think.
Hold on, Todd.
He was talking about the consciousness of how the media makes us feel and how we see ourselves. And so my question to him is, since he's identified the problem, what do we need to do to go in a different direction? What do we got to do to change this? Change that paradigm. And
change what? I need you to be change what? Change what? Because we talked. I'm a little confused right now. What are you asking?
Young man, go back to what? He was saying our problem with us not liking ourselves, not having any self awareness, is because of the things that the media and society has put in place. So basically, put into the minds of our people, how to see themselves negative, and other people, how they view us, their misconceptions of us, to fear us.
So what can we do? To change how black people feel about themselves.
To change how black people feel about themselves. You're not responsible for nobody, brother, but you.
I understand.
You,
so
you
now,
can only
now
change
I got clear
you.
On the question. Now I got clear on the question. What would be your response to that, young man?
How can we get
black people to, if it needs to be changed, how can we get black people to change the way we see ourselves?
Really, we need to create, I don't know how we should do this, how we should go about doing this, but we need to create our own message to ourselves, like something that would get onto the media, something that would have that publicity to really wake up a lot of the black folks and let them feel their self-worth. Because all of these shootings on the news and everything, and all you're seeing is hashtags on Facebook, you're just going to believe that if you get shot by a police officer, you're going to be remembered for a few days. You're just going to be a hashtag and not your self-worth. You see what I mean? We need to somehow get that message across.
So it's a separate Facebook page with more positive things, a YouTube channel with more positive things, we have to offset it because we know NBC not going to roll anything.
Oh, no.
We know Hollywood's not going to make a movie out of it. So we can have our own Twitter feed. We can have our own LinkedIn page. We can have our own website. We can have our own Facebook page. We can have our own YouTube channel. That
right.
only
We need to just start small like that. You know.
Positive things like that. And you know, it's funny you mention that because, you know, I go look up a song every once in a while, and I forgot this song, but it was like the dumbest song I ever seen. I hate to say it, it was a guy from Detroit. He had like 2 billion hits on it. I was like,
yeah, and that's how it works nowadays because
why the hell he get 2 billion hits on this dumb song?
Yeah, because this is the way it works nowadays. Anything that gets publicity is worshipped by my youth and me included. Is that because you know I can't say like my youth and I'm not a part of it. It's my fault also for not notifying my youth and not you know telling them what's really going on. So the issue is really the media. Really, it's the only problem. Because
you said only, but then you point one finger, three more pointing back at you, and I'm talking to myself as well. We can create our own YouTube channel outside of whatever ABC, NBC own or any cable channel does. And I wasn't a big what's the guy's name, the rapper who was pretty conscious recently. What's his name?
Kevin Gates.
That's why I don't know him. But he said, "B don't mess my vibe." What's his name? I know you don't listen.
Oh yeah, it's Kevin Gates.
There was another guy, but you know, can we get more conscious rappers that have some staying power to offset all this? I got these hoes and blah 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 blah. You know.
But that brings in our mentality and what we listen to, what those rappers are talking about is it reflects our current mentality or the majority of us.
Are you sure?
If a majority of us
before the horse.
I'm sorry?
Are they driving the mentality or is that our mentality?
I guess you're right.
No, I'm not trying to be right. I'm just asking the question. Is it a reflection of us, or are we becoming a reflection of the rapper?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying that. I'm sorry. I need to catch my wording because I'm thinking at the same time, you know. But what I'm trying to say is that rappers and anybody that are any person that's really publicized and is how do I say this? I'm sorry.
That's fair.
Anybody that is publicized and has that I don't know how else to say it, but has that publicity and that power to influence people, like for example, if you take Donald Trump and you take Donald Trump's voters, those voters didn't just start thinking like that as Donald Trump was standing up there saying, you know, racist, whatever you may call it, that Donald Trump was saying. He just brought out those feelings that those voters have been holding in for a long, long time. Like, that just... the amount of votes that Donald Trump would get is the reflection of how those voters are thinking. They were thinking long before Donald Trump even decided to get to campaign.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They were already thinking that way. So what I'm saying is black people have been programmed and taught through news and taught through rap music that this is that's supposed to be their life. The guy that gets shot by a police officer, the guy that has to rap to make it, the guy that you know, that has to hustle, things like that, that doesn't go to college, things like that. And I was watching a YouTube video earlier. It was a comedy video, but a black guy said something that that really got to me, that that is a reflection of a lot of the black people that think that way, which is the guy was being made fun of, and some white guy started bullying him or cyberbullying him or something. And the white guy began to call him unintelligent because the black guy was talking like he was unintelligent, like he wasn't using his grammar to his advantage in that argument. So what the white guy does is call him unintelligent, and the black guy says something very, very ignorant to me. And he says, gangsters don't go to school. And I believe he actually meant that, because he was programmed by rap music, by a lot of other things, to put us in that mental state where it's like, oh, gangsters don't go to school. Black people are supposed to be gangsters. Put two and two together. Black people aren't supposed to go to school, aren't supposed to learn, aren't supposed to do this, or else you're not a quote-unquote real nigga, things like that.
Well, you know,
What I'm saying is that we can't blame the rappers anymore. We can't blame these people out here saying, you know, ignorant things about women, calling them the B word, things like that. You can't blame them anymore because we're doing this to ourselves now. We're choosing to listen to this, but we're already being programmed. So it's hard to reteach somebody who's already been programmed to think that way, who's been programmed to think that rap is the only way out of the hood and that basketball is the only way out of the hood and black people are supposed to be shot by cops, black people aren't supposed to go to school. It's hard to unteach that from a person who's been programmed.
All right. Well, I think we just keep going back to that. I'm sorry. I got 832-275. Brother William, hold on 1 second. I got 832-275 been holding a while. Let me bring hold on 1 second.
Hello?
832-275. Hey, how you doing? You got
a
comment,
good.
A question, my brother?
I got a comment. But first of all, I just want to say hello to you, brother. This is LaChris.
Hey, what's up, man?
Been listening to the show. Nothing much. Been listening to the show. Great thoughts, great comments, and it's a great dialogue. But I just want to speak to the comment about not having positive rappers out there. There are some positive rappers out there, still somewhat misogynistic, still dealing with the language and content, but positively nonetheless. Vic Mensa out of Chicago is one great artist, and he, I think the brother's like 21 years old, but he's conscious. The young man that was shot, Vic Mensa wrote a song called 16 Shots, and the young man that was shot sparked quite a debate in Chicago. And what the mayor did and the DA, they suppressed the video until after the mayor was reelected. So in response to that, Vic Mensa actually basically cooperated with neighborhoods, with black people in the community, to actually get the DA that allowed that to happen to get him out of that position, and they actually got someone else elected in that position. So
I think I heard that story.
Chance the Rapper is another great one. Chance the Rapper is another great one. And Kendrick Lamar was who you were talking about, Will. Not Kevin Gates, but Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I think Jay-Z is a great example. I think Jay-Z is a great example of a conscious rapper when you just look at how to operate universal law and divine law. But let me say this, and then I'm going to shut up. We're in such a state where we all have to drive to decision here. We all have to provide valuable input in how to deal with the situation. And so we can no longer afford to continue to separate ourselves And as you said, well, I'm down with, you know, Black Lives Matter, but in some ways that alienates us, right? And then taking on the mindset that, you know, this person hates me or that person hates me, we can shift that. We can shift that thinking. We can shift that behavior by shifting ourselves. And I do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I do it every day. I wake up working on changing my frequencies so that when I go into the world, the barriers that would normally keep me down, they're removed. And I know you brothers know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, we need to be about the business of helping others to understand how to do that. And so a good example is understanding how other people think. You know, police behavior is driven in my mind by two sides of one thing, and that's emotion. And so if you look at it through the lens of fear and aggression, those are the two things that really get you in trouble when you're dealing with police, because if they think you're fearful, then they're in the back of their minds, they're thinking, well, why are you scared? What did you do? And then on the other side, if they think you're being aggressive, then they've been programmed to suppress that aggression. And so as Will said earlier on in the show, when we stand in the middle, then it basically puts us in a position where we can walk away from a situation whole. And as you said, Will, the voice that told you to just chill, that voice puts you in the middle. So in my mind, I think that's where we need to be teaching our youth to move from. And so what I'd like to do is just hear your thoughts on that, and I'm going to shut up and listen.
All right, Chris, I really appreciate it. So you just taught me something. All right, so here's what I say. All those examples you use, Kendrick Lamar, the brother in Chicago.
I can't hear
you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Will. Go ahead. I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris call dropped. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I wish you were online. I didn't know about those things. So let's take that and connect, stand in the middle, right? So you get a brother, shot 16 times, he makes a song. They suppress the video, he gets elected. Oh, I see how they play the game. That was knight to queen six.
Okay.
So what did the brother come back and do? He came back and got that DA. How did he do that? It was through intellect. Well, maybe I ain't got a riot. Maybe I can just go get that DA where this brother got shot. Maybe who wouldn't press charges against this cop? Maybe I get that sucker fired, or that judge won't get elected again. You know what I'm saying? Because at that point, I have a point of reference. I don't want to accept when I'm mad that burning my neighborhood down ain't going to work. But if I know historically there have been people who have said, okay, I see how you're playing this game. I'm going to get this DA unelected. I'm going to make sure the DA ain't elected no more. How did I do that? I galvanized the community. And we voted a certain way because we can shift the outcome of the election. That story needs to be told. Everybody needs to know about it so that the next time it happens, not if, but when, we can stay in the middle, we can reflect, and we can move forward in a different way because I know how we beat them last time.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm talking about. It's like anybody in that group is an ancestor. But our history tells us, wait a minute, they repressed, like the young man said, they repressed certain information. That video didn't get out. Now, the video where he took one step toward the cop and got shot 16 times, that one got out. Look, he moved toward the cop. The cop had to shoot. I'm making this up. But the rest of the stuff didn't get out because the quote-unquote media hit it. But this brother found another way. to get the result. So we need to know that story. We need to put that story in our toolkit and say, hey, this is how we can affect change. We come together, we vote, we get rid of that DA, and they say, damn, we can't mess with them no more. I ain't going to piss them off no more because they got the last guy fired. And I need my money and my power. Let me go deal with them in a more fair way. So I guess my point is that story needs to be put out there and people need to know about it so that we can have options to what we – to our historic reaction to what they do.
Yeah, you spot on, brother. You spot on.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and what I want to say to the young man is that, you know, you point one thing, you point one back, three point back at you. We can have a Facebook page. If you don't like Facebook, we can have a YouTube channel. LaCristo is better now. He's a technology guru. We can have a YouTube channel with only what we want. I don't know. YouTube might shut it down one day, but and it might only get two hits. That don't mean we don't do it. You know, like that whole narrative, I hate it. Every time there's a NFL draft, tell me, what story always comes up? A brother who grew up with his mom
and
two kids, didn't know who his daddy was. No, so-and-so had it tough, but you don't know how tough he had it. And then the camera rolls. What is their role? Some blown-out neighborhood, houses boarded up, Negroes running around the street with shorts and no shirts. How he didn't know his daddy, in out of jail, blah, 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 blah. How many people get drafted in the NFL? Does every black man in the NFL don't know his daddy, grew up in the hood, either would have been dead or in jail if he had football?
But that's a good story to tell for the masses. That's a good story to tell, but for the masses, they need to hear that, brother.
Right. So I was thinking, was that one black guy knew his daddy in the NFL draft? Because every year they tell me about some dude who didn't know his mama, his cousin got strung out, his daddy was in and out of jail, and he had to fight this, that, and the other. He was 12 years old, had to cook clean for his younger siblings because I'm like,
well, you know, brother.
Even made a movie on it.
Unfortunately, that has been the case in some situations. That is the case. But
in many situations.
I want to go back to what. Yeah, it's been the case. I want to say
but
that.
Is that the only narrative we have come out of NFL draft every year? So then every kid in my eighth grade class says, I want to be a football player. Not for that reason, but that's part of it. Well, we're poor. The only way out is for me to be the next Michael Jordan. Well, why don't you go to school and get a job? Or.
Well,
Well,
let me say this, brother. I think the biggest secret to all of this, and, you know, we're going to why we're having this conversation, and the bottom line with this conversation is we need to teach our young people, give them a historical reference to get them to the place where they are aware of themselves, who they are, what they're here for. But I think another conversation is probably going to have to do it another time is understanding how we can shift things ourselves.
Absolutely.
We can shift and change the energy. And I think that's the biggest thing that needs to be taught to our people.
Right.
Just people, period. Once you understand that, everything else takes care of itself. Because now you're conscious of who you are. You're conscious of the words that you speak. You're conscious of your thoughts, which basically relate to your actions. Your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. Those are the three most powerful things. And once we can understand, I think, first of all, we need to have a class on that, man. Well, you know, there needs to be
Absolutely.
A class on that. Because that is the first step to freedom. And you know what? It would be wonderful, and I'm saying it, and somebody's going to do it. Well, we teach our young people how to think. Critical thinking is key. And how to think to make the things manifest in your life. Or let me phrase it this way. The way you think is going to make that thing manifest in your life, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And so that's a whole new conversation we need to really start having, not only with our young people, but our community, period. You know, man, you got so many people in church and they're not, and they don't realize that. I mean, you know,
yep.
And I ain't trying to get into the beat up the church hour because I don't have the energy for that. But it's just whatever institution our people are in, we need to be teaching people how to think to make things manifest. Because
yep.
That's where we're at now. You know, that's good.
Yeah, you're so
right. Maybe we need to have that conversation next time, huh? Y'all down for that? Down for that conversation?
I'm down for it.
Okay. And
definitely
techniques. Techniques to help things manifest in your life that you desire, that you want. And I guess,
right.
I guess I got to be careful with that because some people don't really know what they want. So they make anything come, appears
yep.
in their life. But any closing questions, comments? I'm gonna start with the young man, the 17-year-old. Got anything you want to close us with, my man?
Yes, sir. What you just said is really, it's completely right because it's very accurate because that man, I forgot his name. What was his name? The rapper that that helped the community out in Chicago?
In Chicago?
What was his name?
Vic Mensa.
Yeah. Nick Mensa?
Vic. V-I-C.
Oh.
Victor.
Oh, Vic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Well, the thing with him is that he realized the self-worth. He realized the community's worth. That's how he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
He realized what we could do. We have the numbers.
Right.
You know,
right.
he realized that we do have power, we do have our worth, and that's how he got that judge fired, that unfair judge. Because the major element that we need to put forth in our communities is our self-worth. And if we don't do that, then nothing's getting done.
Right.
Nothing's going to get done if you believe that you can't do anything, if you're just worthless. Like Donald Trump said, he said, what do you have to lose, right? Because he
yep.
thinks that no one has any value. You don't have any value. What do you have to lose? You're worth nothing to us. You might as well just give me your vote right now because he wants you to suppress your self-worth.
So my brother, this is what I want you to do. You appear and you have revealed to me that you are consciously, you know, aware of what's going on. And so if what I would like you to do is each one teach one. But first, you know, work on yourself, and if there's a classmate that is willing to listen, you know, have these conversations with him or her, you know. And eventually those people will find you. And I appreciate you for being in this dialogue tonight. Brother Chris, you got something you want to close us out with? You want to leave us with?
Man, I just want to say, again, I'm happy to see this dialogue occurring, and I appreciate you guys sending me the notice so I could sign on and listen. And, you know, great dialogue. Let's keep it going. And I look forward to receiving the next alert, the next notification, so I can definitely catch it.
And we're, like you said, we're going to continue to do this. You know, we're going to be about solutions. You know, we're not coming on here to moan, groan, and bitch about what's – we get enough of that. So we're going to offer solutions for – and our prayer is that everybody that listens to this, that it'll be something stirred in them to go about, just like what Brother Will is. So with that, Brother Will, you got anything you want to close us on? You tell us about your website again and what you're doing.
Well, I'd like to close on, the website is howdidhegethere.com, how, howdidhegethere.com, how did he get here? And I don't know how many people on the call, and I did a terrible job of advertising, that we meet again, and between now and then, we talk to somebody. Just whatever's your thing. You know, I'm in school. I'm the first person that needs to say, hey, I'm going to pull these kids in my classroom at lunch, and we're gonna talk. What you think about Donald Trump? Why you know? And we need to do that and invite somebody back the next time we get together, whatever the topic is, and grow. I'm not trying to make any pronouncements. We're going to have this institution, this movement, but that we are intentional in bringing somebody else back next time. Say, hey, man, this guy's going to be on talk radio at 6 o'clock on Sunday. I need you to make sure you call and talk about and we can talk about what you talked about, you and I talked about.
Right.
Because it's hard, but it ain't that hard. Because I got a feeling it's already out there. I mean, institutions are falling apart worldwide. And this is ground zero where we say, listen, there are people who think like you, feel like you. There's a place for you to get this off your chest and expand on your thinking. And you can be the next you. You know what I'm saying? And we can make.
Yeah.
So I would just say, let's just talk to, just promise to talk to one person. We get the word out. And when we come back, it's you plus at least one more person that we can have this dialogue with, and we can move something forward. I don't know what it is.
Right.
And that's all I can say is that I'm tired of feeling like I can't do nothing. Like,
right.
You turn on TV, and after a while you start, another one? And, I mean, we got that. If you ever got that feeling where when Trayvon got shot, you were mad. Now you're like, damn, another one? And you turn the channel.
Next time it might be me.
You know? Just put it on your Facebook page. Like,
right.
Yeah, another one? And I feel bad about feeling like that.
Right.
And because on some level you feel like there's this, you're like, man, what the heck? What can I do? And you try to get out that painful situation. But anyway, if we just bring one more person next time, I'll be happy. I don't care what Ty's talking about. Just tell them to go Google the topic. Come back. Let's talk about this. And let's bring back some success stories. Let's bring back. Man, I talked to my boy last week. He hadn't even thought about. He hadn't even heard about Vic Mensa. That man, he was like, oh yeah, we can actually get rid of politicians like that. Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I'm in the middle now. Yep. I ain't got to get mad and throw no rocks at nobody. You know, I ain't got to throw no
top
cocktail.
Well, you know, we don't have, quite frankly, the secret is we don't have to participate in another protest. And we'll have that conversation next time.
Yep.
You don't have to march. Check it out. Now, you don't have to get in another march to flip this script. That's how powerful you are.
Yep.
Just by your words and your thoughts can flip this whole thing around. And I especially want to say, and this is a pub for probably the next show, sisters, you're more powerful than you think you are.
That's right.
I'm gonna leave them with that thought. I ain't going to say nothing else. So, hey, brothers, I appreciate y'all, man. I pray for your peace, your prosperity, and your protection for you and your family. And every word that was said on here will resonate in the heart and minds of someone out there, whether they listen live or archived. And with that, I'm going to say peace and good night.
Good night, man. Peace.
Thanks, Todd.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.